You're tuned in to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock on a Wednesday afternoon edition of the show. Good to be with you. Bear is here, and so is Marcus Young, back in the land of the living. Welcome back, Marcus. How you feeling, buddy?
Feeling good. Glad to be back.
I missed his voice.
Feeling good. Didn't yeah. die. That was nice.
It was kind of rough, guys.
You survived the death spore.
Did.
Is it your first time?
First time.
Oh, welcome to the club.
Yeah.
Congratulations. How does it feel to have stared death in the face and said, no, not today?
I mean, I was worried about you. I mean, you do fit.
Go ahead and say
aspects of the profile of people that have bad outcomes.
Uh-huh. So. Well.
Wow, that was the worst, like, fat joke I've ever heard in my life. That was
it
awful.
Wasn't just that
was terrible. What do you mean it wasn't just that? Like, he's a young, healthy guy. What are you doing? You can't wait a few minutes into the show before you're just taking a shot? That was so rude.
Welcome back.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's a good welcoming back. But no, yeah, I'm... Oh, good.
It's how I show affection.
No,
I don't know.
Very nice. Very affectionate.
I'm very aware. No, I feel good. I'm ready. I think what drove me was the...
What drove you? At the hardest times, my darkest hour, that what drove me was getting back to the drive and being a part of the show. Kept me going.
Was that and LSU on Saturday. I'm ready for it.
It's a big game, man. It's a big game. People are fired up for it. Tennessee, LSU. I think it's going to be a shootout. I had a friend of mine who's actually a Florida fan was DMing me today, and he's thinking about he wants to play LSU, and he for a bet on the spread. And he was saying he was asking me about Burrell, and is that a big loss for Tennessee? And I was like, huh.
It's hard to quantify, really.
Yeah, I basically said, look, Warren Burrell was our best bad cornerback, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. He would be the least out of position.
Out of all our out-of-position corners.
I mean, Haddon's...
might have a little more athletic ability, but...
Kamal's able to, just through sheer athletic ability and speed, basically... that when he screws up, sometimes he can fix his screw up.
Yeah,
and get
recover
himself,
speed.
Yeah,
which and hey, not starting the show coming off on our guys. I think they're good enough to get the job done. I just think it's going to be a shootout. That's what I was telling my buddy. I was like, look, I like Tennessee's chances to win the game and cover a small spread, but I don't like Tennessee's chances of slowing them down very much. And that makes me a Negaval, so be it. I know some people think, oh, you know, Jaden Daniels banged up, not a good thrower, like he's not as good as Anthony Richardson and all this stuff I'm hearing. And look, I hope I'm wrong, but I just think our defense is all kinds of terrible. And you let me know if I'm wrong. You let me know if I'm way off base here. I think we have a really bad defense. I think we have a really good offense here. I think they're going to put up big points down there. I think it's going to come down to turnovers in the kicking game. And if Tennessee doesn't have any disasters in those two areas, I think Tennessee wins. Just think it's going to be a big shootout where we're going to be frustrated. We're pulling our hair out. Oh, my God, I can't believe this is still a game. Well, believe it. When you don't have much defense, you're going to be in a lot of still a games in the fourth quarter, particularly when you're playing a good team with lots of talent like LSU on their home field.
Yeah. So they have a legendary home field advantage there. You know, we need to we all know what we need to do. We need to start early, jump on them quick with the offense, limit penalties. We need to create turnovers.
You're coming dangerously close to infringing on the five things I want to see, Bear. I'll just let you know.
Got to get the running game going.
If you say clean game right now, I'm going to come over there and smack you.
And then, you know, after an off week, you got to get the secondary corrected. But the good thing is now they've got on tape, you know, film that they can
– I need to go look at the film.
Have teaching going on between the coaches and the guys in the secondary. I mean, their mistakes are pretty obvious. I mean, they jump out at you, even as an amateur, just casually watching on TV. I mean, that looks like the wrong way to try and cover somebody.
that looks like it's not supposed to look like that. Yeah. We should be doing something else. I don't know what it is, but it's not that. Yeah, I feel you
on
that one.
And part of it is, but flip it over in the Florida game, and to go back to that, we're not the only team that has massive breakdowns in the secondary. I mean, mm-hmm. Florida had, what, three? Really gave us a game.
It is a recurring theme in the world of modern college football and the high-octane offenses and the focus on player injuries and concussions. It is all these new rules have hurt the defense. And you see a lot of teams that just don't play great defense anymore. Outside of Alabama and Georgia, are there any dominant defenses in college football?
No, I mean, they're on another whole nother level. Like, they're the two teams, and what I noticed is you can hear them hitting while you're watching. Like, you can usually, but it just sounds different. Like, the hits sound a lot – they're a lot louder because they hit you a lot harder. They played a physical – maybe Ohio State, I don't know. You never know on them until they get out of the Big Ten.
But here's the thing with our defense, and if you're – Russell, you're just coming off the top rope on the defense. How can you be doing this? We're 4-0. We're in the top 10. Say something positive. Okay, that's something positive. I don't think for all the yards and points that we give up that Tennessee's defense lacks for confidence. I think that they are what did Butch Jones used to say, snap and clear?
It's critical.
I think they do that out there. I don't think they dwell on the last play, the last drive, and stuff like that. And we've seen that in both the quote-unquote big games so far this year against Pitt and Florida when they had to have a play. They made it. Got pressure on the quarterback, created a turnover. They were able to do it when it was go time. And, hey, they gave up a lot of plays in between. But wouldn't it surprise me if it came down to that again on Saturday afternoon? Hey, it's back and forth. It's 41-38, and we absolutely have to have a play, and we get some pressure, and it goes our way when that one time that we have to have it. And that is in stark contrast to the last time Tennessee went down there in 2010, and you had a chance to steal one down there, and you didn't do it, not because you weren't able to make a play, just complete game mismanagement, boneheaded gaffe, substitution penalty.
You know, I was dumbfounded after that game for a good 3 to 4 hours, just where I just sat and stared off into space and tried to wrap my brain around how we lost that game. That's up there.
I've seen a couple of people tweet out the ending to that, the video of it. I can't watch it.
I can't either.
It's one of the most heartbreaking games
ever. Was that the lowest point?
Boy, can we have this conversation now? Because for the past couple of years, every time somebody's like, oh, rock bottom, like, what was the lowest point? I was like, no, stop. We're not having that conversation.
Yeah, no, I know.
Because every time we do, we find that, no, we actually haven't hit rock bottom and that something worse happens.
Well, I mean, it was yet another ledge.
But we might actually be beyond that now.
I hope so. I think so.
I don't know, man. Are
it feels real.
Yeah.
I don't know. We're like still kind of like backing away from it, you know?
Still a little bit traumatized.
Yeah. We think the bomb has finally been defused over there.
Don't want to tempt the whatever on high atop the thing.
But we seem to be in a very good place. But I think overall, that just speaks overall to after years and years and years of not very steady leadership at a lot of different levels, that we finally got good leadership and everybody's pulling in the same direction.
Well, and real quickly, I don't think that was rock bottom for the program. I think that was Shiano Sunday. I think that as far as on-field moments go, I don't even think that was rock bottom. It might just be the most glaring example of the futility of whatever this 15-year era is that's hopefully over now between 2008 and 2021, that we're hopefully now moving into an era of, at the very least, competency in football, if not quality.
Well, sure. But the other thing, when you book in that play down there and then the bowl game loss to North Carolina, I mean, that basically encapsulates –
It encapsulates the Dooley era. Yeah, those 3 years, for sure.
And it's just like, no offense to that guy, but I mean, stuff that happens to guys like that, I mean, you're not a winner, you're a loser.
You're a loser.
Losers lose.
Folks, you're not a loser. You've chosen wisely. You've chosen to tune in to The Drive this afternoon right here on Fan Run Radio. And by virtue of that fact alone, you are a winner. You win things. You win at life. You make good decisions. Make a good decision right now. Go to fanrunradio.com/tent. It is a free window tent Wednesday here on Fan Run. And we are giving away not one, but two free window tents. Who won the tent on Talk Sports? An hour or two ago?
I think Dan Crow.
Dan Crow.
Or Danny Crow. Or Danny Crow.
Old Dan Crow. Who was it? John Crow? Who was the Crow who got
John
fired?
John David Crow.
The guy who got fired at Arkansas for losing to Jacksonville State. He got fired the next day. Was it John Crow?
Was it John? I don't know.
Jim Crow was the awful laws from back in the day.
Yeah.
I think it's John Crow. Anyway.
John David Crow was what? He was a quarterback for Stallings and A&M or Bear.
I think you're thinking Croyle, John David.
No, it was John David Crow.
Anyway, G&J Auto Graphics, it's a free window tent Wednesday. Mr. Crow won on Talk Sports. Are you going to win on The Drive? You got about 2 hours, but don't delay. Get registered now because we're giving away another free window tent, 5:30, right here on the air. All you have to do is give us your name, phone number, and make and model of your car at fanrunradio.com/tent. Take you about 20 seconds to get registered, and we will announce the next winner coming up here in just a little over 2 hours. Very, very exciting stuff. Aaron Judge hits number 62 last night. Braves clinch. Big baseball night. Good night for the Drive. Bears guy gets... 62, gets the record.
Braves clinch.
By the way, I like this controversy. People are like, you guys really like Barry Bonds. You don't have to like him, but he has the record. I love that people are celebrating this. And I'm not a Yankees fan. I hate the Yankees. But I love that they're just disregarding Barry Bonds and praising Aaron Judge, who I don't know if he's clean or not. I just don't like Bonds because he's a jerk. He's a bad, like, just a miserable – I can't say what I want to say, but – Aaron Judge seems like a good dude, man. He's the kind of guy you want to win these records.
I don't know if he's just or not, but those guys, like all those guys, I'm talking McGuire, Barry, all those guys, like they're bone structures. Like they grew bone late in their 30s. I mean, these guys like change. Like
maybe this guy is too. I don't know. I mean, like, he's a freakazoid. He's a freak human. Like you put Aaron Judge next to Barry Bonds in his quote unquote prime. And tell me that they look that much different?
Yeah, Aaron's just taller. Carries it better. And he's always been this big Barry. Barry, if you look at those pictures when Barry first came in the league, first thing I remember is, what, like 18 or 19?
He was a great player in the early 90s with the Pirates.
Yeah.
Never had to do any
but
of that
But he was
stuff.
Rail thin.
Yep.
He was really – he wasn't like this big muscle-bound dude. I don't know. I thought it was pretty cool just from a Yankee standpoint and – the whole Roger Maris thing, because they were obviously juiced out of their minds. Whether Aaron Judge is or not, I have no idea. I'm just glad the Maris record stayed in the family.
I'm just glad the East title stays in the family. 5 years in a row for the Braves. They made it interesting. Did you see interesting thing that happened last night in that game? game 161 on the schedule of 162 game Major League Baseball season.
Right.
And the Braves did something last night in a game they won 2-1 that they haven't done all season, something that is, or at least used to be, very common. You would see in just about every baseball game you watch. You watch a nine-inning baseball game, you're going to see this happen at least once. And the Braves did it for the first time all season last night. Do you know what I'm talking about, what it was?
No.
A sacrifice bunt.
Oh, just score a run?
Just to move a runner over from second to third. Michael Harris laid down a bunt, sack bunt, to move a runner over into scoring position.
I feel like we see that a lot more in college.
We don't see it much in college. Remember how much Tennessee struggled to bunt this year? Like how maddening that was? It's like we can't bunt. We don't try too much, but when we did, we'd pop out or we'd miss it and strike.
Yeah, it got to the point where I liked our odds better. Just swing away, man. Just try and hit the pitcher.
What happened with Tennessee, remembering now, we would call a bunt and the batter would go up there and foul off two bunts immediately, and then you can't bunt after that because you don't want to strike out. A third foul bunt is strikeout, right?
I think so.
So
don't quote me on that.
So we would have to stop. But, yeah, Braves – have exactly one sacrifice bunt, and it was a beauty. Michael Harris, Money Mike, stepped up there and laid it down, and
money's on the table. You got to – that's the exact opposite of not being able to see the forest for the trees. That's seeing the whole picture. You're just wanting to get that win and clinch.
Well, and this is modern baseball, analytics, money ball. The Anthopoulos guy who is in charge of the Braves, he was on J.P. Ricciardi's staff at – Toronto. Ricciardi was Billy Beane's right-hand man in Oakland. He's part of the analytics revolution. So they don't bunt, but ironically, like, they got into this position by playing that way, but you have to win one game, and they're in a 2-1 game last night. They had to have it, and they got their bunt, and they got the win, and they win the title for the fifth year in a row. I don't think we'll see it again. If I'm a betting man, I'd say that's probably the only bunt of the season for the Braves.
Maybe,
but
when they did it, it worked. It's also not surprising just because I never realized that Liberty Media owned the Braves, and they've got a pretty proven track record of talent acquisition.
Yeah, I mean, this guy, if Alex Anthopoulos calls you right before the trade deadline, check your pockets, and because he's about to take somebody from you that you probably need, or at least the Braves are going to
use. He'll do is he'll come and he'll take somebody that you weren't utilizing.
Yeah. They'll find a role for him, yeah. One specific thing that he does.
That will make the Braves that much better in that one area.
This year it's Robbie Grossman and Iglesias out of the pen.
If you guys can pull it off this year, I mean, be two in a row.
I like their chances, man. The pitching thing is, I mean, their starting pitchers are all banged up. We'll see what happens. But
so, who do you think is going to be, Braves Astros in the World Series?
I don't know, man. I mean,
I don't see anybody in the National League beating the Braves.
I don't follow all the teams closely enough. You don't see anybody. You don't think that have you seen what the Cardinals have? The Cardinals are a good team. You've seen the Dodgers this year. Like, they're a very good team.
Yeah, I guess you're right on that.
I'm not penciling in the Braves to the World Series by any stretch of the imagination. I think it's going to be very difficult.
Who do you like on the American League side?
Probably the Astros or the Yankees. I haven't been following it as closely, like I said, but it seems like the Yankees, like they were about to choke it away in August. And
they seem to regain their foot, got their feet back underneath.
Righted the ship a little bit. So I don't know if I'm ready for a Braves-Yankees World Series.
I think that's the only two teams are the Braves and the Yankees that have 10 players with double-digit home runs this year.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So they go yard.
Stay with us. The drive continues. We'll go open lines here. If you want to jump in, go ahead and take a shot. 865-546-8200, your number to get on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. 546-8200, your number to get on the show. We'll be right back with your phone calls after this. Hand Run Radio, The Drive continues, 105.7 FM, 1340 AM, streaming online this afternoon, fanrunradio.com, your free Fan Run app. Variety of ways for you to experience the program. So on the bunt thing, real quickly, we'll move off this. I know everybody's really fascinated by our bunting conversation in the first segment today. They actually didn't score. They moved runners to second and third with one out.
But
after the sack, and then the next two guys struck out, which is why they don't like to bunt.
Okay.
Let's go to the phones, 865-546-8200, and we'll start with Senor City. Good afternoon, Senor.
Hey, hola, amigos.
What's up?
Hey, is Marcus, is he on break, or is it just you and Bear holding it down again today?
Marcus is here.
He's back
from the brink of death.
I thought maybe Philly had taken him out on a blown-away weekend and he hadn't recovered, so I'm glad to hear him back.
I'm going to go ahead and speak up for my boy, young Marcus Young.
Oh, thank you.
I don't know that Phil could keep up with Marcus.
Ooh.
Ooh.
How about Bear, that?
That sounds like a challenge.
It's a bold statement.
That's about 30 years in age.
Yeah, get me a bottle of Rumpelmans and we'll just find out.
Rumpelmans.
Hey, Gentlemen, let me ask you this. When we put college football schedules, when the networks are putting those together, they are trying to attract the best matchups where they get the biggest amount of viewership because that's what makes money. Am I correct in that?
I would think so.
So my question goes to why – listen, I'm glad that we're playing the noon game, but who thinks that the LSU-Tennessee game is going to have less of a viewership than Texas A&M and Alabama? I don't understand why that got selected as the primetime extravaganza. Can you explain that?
Well, 2 weeks ago when the decision was made, it was still Alabama was unbeaten. They still are. Texas A&M had the one loss. And I think they were just banking on – and Tennessee hadn't beaten Florida yet, right?
They were banking on Tennessee losing to Florida and A&M maybe not being as bad as they've looked.
We were a big favorite against Florida. I don't think anybody was banking on Tennessee losing that game. It just goes back to the Saban-Jimbo kerfluffle over the summer and the fact that Texas A&M won that game last year. And I just think that there's a lot of narrative around there that there isn't around Tennessee and LSU. And you get into this conversation, the word casual has become almost kind of a pejorative, right, this year. That's a buzzword.
Okay, you're just a casual.
It's the person who watches college football on the weekends, but they're not going to fan sites and obsessing about it on Twitter and listening to talk radio during the week. That person, they don't know about Tennessee and LSU. That's not a compelling matchup to them, right?
Right.
But they remember Art A&M beating Alabama last year and what a huge upset that was. And then they remember the kerfluffle before media days where Jimbo went off on save. I'm through with him, that whole thing. And so, like, there's narrative there. There's a buildup there, and people are ready for that matchup, even if they don't know what the betting line is, 30 points or whatever it is, that Tennessee and LSU doesn't have. So that's what CBS is looking at.
Well, what really screwed it up was that this weekend fell on one of their doubleheader weekends. If it was a 3:30, if they only had the 3:30 game, Bama and Texas and MB 3:30, and Tennessee and LSU would be going off at what, 7 on ESPN as a night game. So, but
I guess
it's not going to be any easier to beat them down there at 11 a.m. versus 7 p.m. though.
Yes, it will.
No.
Yes, it will. I know you talked to a guy who told you this, but it will. I mean, Heupel said that as much on Monday. He said you want to play the game as early as possible. Playing LSU at noon in Baton Rouge it's not easy, but it's easier than playing them at 7 in Baton Rouge. It just is.
I agree with that. And here's the thing, guys. When you're looking at the two games as a network executive, you put that hat on, ask yourself, which game has the potential to be a four-quarter game and which game's probably going to be over by halftime? Because you all were talking about this the other day. I think the Sabanator is going to go full Terminator on Jimbo because of last year and because of all this off-season. I think if he can run it up on Texas A&M, he's going to make a point.
I mean, I just think he's with – if Young – has there been any more word on Young
as far as his status? But the dadgum backup looked like a monster himself.
Yeah, they're going to be a very – they're just going to shift what you saw in the second half. They're going to start power running.
I don't think it matters. I don't think it matters who plays quarterback for Alabama. They're good, and I think there's a little bit of drop off from Young to Milroe, but they're still fine. They'll find a way to put up 40 points in that game, and I don't think Texas A&M could score 40 points against Tennessee. And you heard what I think of our defense,
Russ. That game against Arkansas, Alabama opened up some holes for that quarterback that you could have been playing quarterback for Alabama and gained 70 yards.
I wouldn't go that far.
Do I get to
–
will you have the ambulance standing by next to the field ready to cart me off at the first sign of physical contact?
Probably, because you've probably been winded after you get after you run 70 yards downfield. They're probably going to have to get you on the air. Hey, you were talking about that Arkansas. That year when John David Crow was the coach, they lost to the Citadel, and he got fired immediately after the game. And when I can't remember who the guy was. It was some Clemson schmuck. That's the same year that when we beat him, he was hoping he Shuler ripped up a knee, because he felt like we were running up the score.
Well, that was but
that
he,
wasn't
Danny
John
Ford.
David Crow, dude. That was Danny Ford. Hope he tears his
knee. That's right. Yeah, but Danny Ford is the one they brought in, and when they fired that guy losing to the Citadel, Danny Ford was the replacement coach. I'm almost certain.
It's been so long ago. I have to take your word for it, senor.
Yeah. Hey, and when you're going out the door with baseball's a great sport. It's just too long of a season, and it gets caught up here at the end, and it's caught between pro football, college football, and even NBA basketball, for those that are fascinated with that. And what happens is it gets lost. You know, it used to be October, and now they're playing into November. And correct me if I'm wrong, because I don't follow it as closely as I used to, but has the baseball playoffs been extended this year too? Didn't they add more teams to it?
Yes, they added another wild card. So it's
so
not the sport.
That playoffs is going to go even longer,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's not the sport we grew up watching, that's for sure.
All right, guys, great show. I'll listen to you guys. I know you got other callers, and I'm looking forward. Who was a caller that called a couple of weeks ago wanted to whip Jimmy Himes? Was that Trey?
I don't know.
I mean,
I don't condone physical threats against other radio hosts. Not on other stations.
Why would you even want to do that?
It made for good radio, guys. You got to admit, watching him and Jimmy in the octagon, hey, I think I'd be pretty cool to watch that.
All right, thank you, senior. Appreciate the phone call. You know, back in my day, I miss it when it was just the National League East and the National League West. And if this were 20 years ago, actually 30 years ago, man, I am getting old. It'd be the Braves and Dodgers and the NLCS. It'd be I guess the Astros were in the National League back then. But it'd be the Yankees and whoever in the ALCS. And then those two teams would meet in the World Series and we'd be done with it. Now we've got two teams with first-round byes. You got wild card round one, wild card round two, and then the championship series. It's ridiculous. We played 162 games already. Now I got to sit here and watch three rounds of the playoffs before we get to the World Series? By the time they get done, it'll be ready for spring training. When are these guys supposed to have an offseason? What are we going to do with all the pitchers who require Tommy John surgery because they've been pitching since February and they won't stop until December? Just had to get that off my chest. Thank you. 865-546-8200, your number to get on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines this afternoon. And speaking of Phillies, let's go next to Phil. Good afternoon, Phil. You're on the drive. What's up, Philly?
How you bearing? See, Marcus has finally got back from being blown away. Pretty cool.
Marcus has emerged from the world's longest hangover. We haven't seen him since, what, Wednesday? A full week off?
He claims he had COVID, but.
Would you have, like, John Lennon and Harry Nilsson's Lost Weekend or something? You're just on a bender?
We're very suspicious.
Speaking of Bender, Bill Bender in hour number two coming up from the Sporting News. We've got college football
good,
with him.
Good plug there.
Yeah.
I guess Marcus trying to take after W and Houston Crest, you know.
What's that supposed to mean?
Well, just add 2 + 2 = 4, don't.
Not used to anymore, but this is a common core math standard. Who knows, you know?
Guys, y'all talking baseball. What's a bigger accomplishment, what the Braves did or what Aaron Judge did?
Wow.
Not only that, but what O'Neill did as well this season. It's been a wild year in baseball. It's pretty unreal performances.
I'd have to lean towards Judge. I mean, we've seen teams chase other teams down and 100-win seasons. And, heck, we've seen the Braves do it a couple times over the years. Aaron Judge, we haven't seen a season like that that doesn't have an asterisk next to it since 1961.
Well, they were Braves were 10 games back in June and come back and won the division. That's a very remarkable. Mets choke like they always do, and they have a $300 million payroll.
Hate to see it.
And the Yankees, I don't know what their payroll is, but they're not even going they'll be lucky to get out of the first round of playoffs.
Easy.
How does that strike you, Bear?
It doesn't strike me as very good at all.
Well, that's the truth. They don't have no pitching.
No pitching?
All they got's Judge. I mean, one for Judge, it wouldn't be in the playoffs. That's how good of a year they got.
62 homers, Phil.
Yeah. Barry Bonds had a lot more, didn't he?
He was on the clear. Cream. And
Matter. He did it no matter what, if he's injected or what. You know what I'm saying?
You don't make any difference between him and breaking Hank Aaron's record?
I mean, when your head's all swolled up like the Grateful Dead logo and you're just one giant bicep out there, it's kind of hard to take seriously at times.
Well, I did see something last night on that baseball network, or maybe it was ESPN. They're talking about there's only three people that have done something, Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, and a Judge, and that's pretty – I don't know what the statistics were, but if you use that category, then he has to go with down to one of the all-time greats. I didn't see Barry Bonds up on that list.
Oh, he is – I mean, he punched his ticket to Cooperstown this year already, which is incredible to say for such a young player. He's got so much good baseball ahead of him, but he's a phenomenal talent, no doubt. Now, what's going to go on with his contract? This is a great example of bet on yourself. If he had signed that deal before the season, it probably wouldn't be as big as whatever he's getting after the season.
I think he'll – I mean, wouldn't you think he'll have to be the highest-paid Yankee ever?
Well, yeah, it'd have to.
Be the highest-paid player ever, period, probably.
But he'll never win a championship because they don't have nothing around him. That's what's unfortunate about the day and age.
But whatever team he goes to probably won't be able to do that.
Well, the would be the Yankees or the Red Sox or the Dodgers, wouldn't it?
It's a sport with no salary cap, man. I mean, whoever wants to stroke that check is probably going to get him. He'll stay with the Yankees. Yankees will cough it up, right? They're not going to let him walk.
No.
Yeah, they got money. Yeah.
You can't let him walk.
This football game Saturday, I think the key to the game, can Tennessee score touchdowns in the red zones instead of kicking field goals?
Yep.
And hopefully our defense will make them kick some field goals when they get in the red zone.
Win in the red zone, exactly what you just said, Phil, make them kick field goals. If they go for it on fourth down, get the stop. And I think that's going to be a huge part of what this game comes down to. I think that's very astute analysis by you.
Wow, that's nice. You give me credit for something.
You know, the nightmare scenario is Aaron. I've been sitting here still thinking about Aaron Judge and his contract, and the nightmare scenario is he ends up in Atlanta, for me personally.
Braves won't need him.
No. Not going to happen.
I mean, the Braves are set.
Yeah. I mean, they're...
They got Michael Williams in center field, and they got
I mean, where who would want him?
Acuna.
And why are we still talking about this? He's going to go to the Yankees. Bear, we've moved on to LSU. Where are you?
All right.
Why are you pulling us back into this?
Well, he probably knows a person I'm close to probably is irritated by the Yankee talk, I guess. But back to LSU again. I think it's a very winnable game, but it's also very losable. If Tennessee hadn't played a clean game yet, and if they play a clean game, they'll win. If they don't, they'll probably get beat. Because that's how LSU's beat us, because we've turned the ball over more than they did.
Man, it's probably going to happen at some point. And I hope that when they don't play a clean game and there are some turnovers or penalties, that it is against Alabama or Georgia, and we can blame it on that self-inflicted wounds instead of just facing up to what will probably ultimately be the truth, is that we made those mistakes because we were playing such a talented opponent. But, yeah, right. I mean, this is an amazing opportunity for Tennessee to take another big step forward as a program and to get some of that attention so that the next time that CBS is making that choice that we were talking about with the previous caller, they're going to say, no, we want Tennessee. Have you seen the kind of numbers they put up? That's an exciting program to watch. We're going to put them on. That's the kind of national recognition that I think people talk about when they're like, why aren't people taking note of Tennessee yet? Well, they haven't beaten a quote-unquote big-name team just yet.
Yeah. Well, they beat Florida and they beat Pitt. And LSU, we're going to have to exercise some more demons.
Yep.
We've won two out of three of people have been giving us problems.
Well, I mean, we're just to the point now where we've got to beat a bunch of them all in one season because we've, you know, announced that we've been back how many times in the past 10 years, and we fizzle, fumble, and fall flat on our face.
Never felt real to me, though. Maybe a little bit in 2016. A little bit. I know it's fashionable now with hindsight to look back. So, it's Butch Johnson. We never felt comfortable. And when we were 5-0, we were feeling pretty good going down there to A&M with all the talent that was on that squad. But the thing that's interesting to me about this season is how it just keeps escalating. Phil, you said we've beaten Pitt and Florida, and those are big wins to us, and they're nice wins. But, I think when the TV execs and the college football casuals around the country are looking at this, they see Pitt's not a big win in the national scope of things. Florida is a little bit bigger. It's a little bit bigger, but still – I think there's a narrative around Florida that they're in a rebuild mode under first-year coach and all that stuff. Beating LSU Saturday would be the biggest win yet. And you go down to Baton Rouge and win down there, that's another big step. And then if you do that, well, the biggest step of all is the next week. So it's kind of interesting how it's just the season is incrementally bigger and bigger opportunities
enough,
as you go along. Yeah.
But you win Saturday, 10-2 is on the table because I don't expect us to be able to beat Georgia or Alabama. But I'll take 10-2 right now, and you go to the Sugar Bowl. I think it's a hell of a damn year.
Oh, best season in a long, long time.
There, you know what?
Yeah, that, I mean, that'd be your best season since 2001.
Yeah, but it will also – I mean, be your first trip back to New Orleans since what, 91?
1990, yeah. 90, 30 years.
Yeah.
32.
We can have the season that Ole Miss had last year. That's what Tennessee can do.
Would have nothing to complain about at all.
Something.
I mean, I'm sure everybody will find something, but to go 10-2 in year two and end the year in New Orleans for New Year's.
I guess we'll be ripping up fat contract we just gave Heupel and give him another one, right, Phil?
Yeah. They still need to get another high-powered recruiter on their staff, though. I don't know.
They got to give him the money to do it.
Yeah. Well, they got the money. Let Randy Boyd ride a chariot.
It's not mine. I don't care.
One more thing. I heard Rocky Top Insider, I don't know if it was Fabulous. Did he say that? He said Zakai Zuger was the best player in the practice over there when he was over there the other day. Is that true? Y'all see that?
I did not. Who said that?
The Fabulous one, Rick Butler?
Somebody from Rocky Top Insider where Fabulous is employed. So,
All right.
Said Zakai Ziegler. If he is the best player on their roster, then that's a good sign for Tennessee this year.
Mm-mm. Wow. That's a nice roster. I like the roster.
Last year you had Chandler, and this year you have Kennedy, and then you got a lot to go. You got more to go with this year than you had last year.
Oh, I see what you mean now, Russ, about you were talking about Tyreek Key, how big he is.
Yeah.
He's large.
He's a load.
Yeah. He's a big. Have you seen him yet, Phil?
I haven't seen him except on my phone. He's a pretty strong looking kid, and I'd say he's going to be, with him and Vescovi shooting threes, I'll be pretty beautiful this year, you know?
Yeah.
Phil, we got to run. Thanks for the call.
All right, see you guys.
Stay with us. The Drive rages on. 865-546-8200. Your number to hop on board. Back with more right after this. Welcome back. The Drive continues here on Fan Run Radio. Russ LeBaire, joined by young Marcus Young, back at the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. David writes, can we get that in writing? Philly won't complain if the Vols go 10-2. People highly skeptical of Phil's claims that he will be happy at 10-2.
See, I'll speak up for him just because I'm old enough to remember Phil's calls from back in the days of yore when we were – he was happier, a lot happier. He still complained. But he was happier.
He'll be happier if Tennessee can go 10-2.
He's a lot funnier and easier to take when we're 10-2. I'll just put it that.
Well, football season rolling right along. I see where Jonathan Taylor Thomas has been ruled out with that ankle injury for the game tomorrow with the Broncos.
Do you have him on your team?
I did not. I'm telling you, man, you need a running back? Holler at your boy. I got a plethora. I'm not even using Kamara. He was my first pick.
I'm gonna send you a trade. Do you think those Jackals will let a trade go through in there?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if it makes sense. I mean, we can't collude, you and I. I mean, we could try, but we're not going to. I mean, there is integrity
here. I kind of feel
like Nagy's
got his eye.
Folks, right now, new customers over at FanDuel get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 back in free bets if your first bet doesn't win. So, if you hear us talking about point spreads and money lines and same-game parlays and all that stuff, and you're like, man, that sounds like a lot of fun, but I don't know. This is a great time to dip your toe into the sports betting waters, and FanDuel is a great place to do it. They're America's number one sports book. The app is super simple. Safe, secure, easy to use. You figure it out. You can go toy around with it. As a matter of fact, you can download the app right now. I was telling a friend to do this. Just go in and download it, and you don't even have to sign up. You can go in there and play around and enter some numbers and kind of figure out how it works for free. And then when you do sign up, use our promo code so that they know we sent you and we get credit for it here on the Drive, and you can get that no sweat first bet, which means up to $1,000 back in free bets if your first bet doesn't win. So DRIVE1 is our promo code. That's DRIVE1. Sign up today and make every moment more this season with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable free bets that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789. All right, a hot question yesterday about the alternate uniforms, as Tennessee will be debuting the Smoky Grays on Saturday afternoon down in Death Valley. And we asked yesterday which of the two, I lost it. Russell's brain is rebooting. Which of the two alternate uniforms do you like?
Dark mode or Smoky Grays, right?
Those are the two alternate uniforms, yes. And with...
I voted Smoky Gray.
It's a final now. 770 votes cast. You voted Smoky Gray?
Yeah.
You, sir, are in the slight minority. Dark mode takes the poll, 55.3% to 44.7%, going smoky gray. So the Tennessee fans have spoken, and they prefer the black uniforms to the gray uniforms for alternates. Do you think we will see the dark mode uniforms next week against Alabama, or do you think they're saving those for a later date?
No, now see, that's the one game where I would climb up on the porch and pour myself a tall one. But Alabama, you don't wear alternates against Alabama. That's one of the oldest Southern college football rivalry games. That's orange and white, crimson and white.
I think that I would like to see them save it for Kentucky. I'd like to see them save it for a night game. I don't know why I fixate on this so much. I don't like wearing them, the grays at high noon. Or I just think those alternates look better under the lights for some reason. That's just me, sports aesthetic enthusiast. And I think that Kentucky would be a good one, especially if we get that at night. Because
that's got to be a night game, right?
I'm going to pull those out
and just stomp a mud hole in their ass.
Send the yokels back with that L.
Yeah.
Back to the bluegrass and back to the coal mine.
We got a lot of ball to play before we play them, though.
Yep.
Ugh. This is it. The gauntlet begins, I feel like, tomorrow. You know, that part of the meat grinder. I mean, October, basically.
You mean Saturday?
Saturday, yeah. Oh. I don't know what to say.
You're way ahead of yourselves there, buddy. We got two more shows to do. Until then, we'll be out at National RX on Friday. Looking ahead towards a big hour number two, Bill Bender from the Sporting News is going to join. We'll get his take on the goings-on SEC football this week, as well as what's going on up in Big Ten country with a coaching opening up there, Wisconsin. Stay tuned. The drive continues. Good to have Marcus back. He's got your top four at four when we continue next on The Drive. More Fan Run Radio coming up. The Drive.